Good evening, everyone. Oh, I don't like to be too close because then you're in the shadows. I don't like to be in the shadows. I like to be in the light. Good to see you all. Welcome again to the year seven boys that were here last week and to the year seven girls that are here this week. Allison, second week. Well done. But it's good to see you all, and I hope you have a great term here at Access. And we're doing a bit of a series on, do I put the first one up or do you do that? There we go. We're doing a bit of a series on friendship. Shane started last week talking about wisdom and having wisdom in choosing friends and that kind of thing. Who here would like to grow in their ability to be a good friend? Hand up. Who's keen? Who thinks they have some room for improvement? Who thinks their friends have room for... No, just kidding. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about something a little more... It's a little bit of a, you know, bit of an admonishment. Does anyone know what admonishment means? What's that, Rachel? I forget. No. It's kind of like a warning, like an encouragement, but a warning as well. So we're going to look at an element, something that can be toxic to your friendships. And so just talk a bit about that and reflect on how we're going with that. Before I get into that, I just want to ask, has anyone, well, you know, the word toxic, does anyone, what does toxic mean? Yes, what's that, Patrick?
Poisonous.
Yes, poison. Because I looked up the definition of toxic and it was pretty much went to poison. So I've got the definition for poisonous there. A substance that is capable of causing the illness or death of a living organism when introduced or absorbed. Has anyone ever been poisoned? Like, have you taken something that was like poison to your body? What did you have? Food poisoning? Anyone else had food poisoning? What happens? What do you end up doing when you're... Oh. It's not a good feeling, is it? It seems so good when you're eating it, but it wasn't good later. We've had a couple of... I'm sorry to say, we've had a couple of incidences with our kids where we haven't been sure if they've... We've suspected that they've got into like some medicine, and it's been like full panic, going to the hospital, like had not sure. With one we knew she'd taken, it was like, and it was really bad. It was like my mum, who's got some mental health issues at times. She's pretty stable, but she had some antipsychotic something or other that my 2-year-old got into, and it was, we saw the chewed bit, so she definitely like had it in her mouth, and we think she spat out most of it, and she totally fine, didn't have any, but it was pretty panic for a little while, like going to the hospital and you're just waiting, taking something you know is bad for you, waiting to see what the results are going to be, and it's not a nice place to be as a parent. Hopefully it won't happen again. She's coming out of her twos now, and maybe that's the last one, so we'll see. But yeah, it's not, you want to avoid poison. And if you knew the food you were going to eat was going to give you food poisoning, it doesn't matter how good it looks on the plate, you're not going to eat it, are you? Are you? Maybe you will. Each to his own, no judgment, no. But we're going to look at what is toxic or what is poisonous to your friendships. And, you know, in preparing for tonight, I had a whole list of things that were toxic to relationships. There's lots of things like jealousy, unforgiveness, comparing, hatred. Like, there's a lot of things that can be toxic to a relationship. But as I got into it, I really felt to focus in on one thing in particular that I think all of us could be challenged on, and all of us need to be reminded of something that's toxic to our friendships and all our relationships. I want to look at this verse from Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. If you just reflect for a minute, do you think that's how you would describe the words that come out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth? Is it only things that are helpful for building others up and benefits those who listen? Like, that's a pretty, like, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's a pretty big call. And I think it's one we probably all fall short on. But, and yeah, the question I want us to ponder as we think about this verse is your friendship that you bring, is it bringing life or death to others? Because at the end of the day, it really is one or the other. There's not much of a gray area, either moving towards life or moving towards death in the way that you behave, in the words that you speak. So do your words bring life to others, or do they bring death? So what we're talking about tonight is gossip. Ooh. Do I need to say any more? Is that enough? We can just take that and feel some conviction already. What is gossip? Well, as a little bit of a definition to help us, I mean, it's pretty broad and it's pretty sneaky gossip. It can get in there in lots of different ways and with lots of different motives that are all bad. But generally, a way to understand it would be it's bad information. So it could be it's a lie, but you might not know it's a lie. But you also might not know if it's true or not, but you've heard something, you're like, I haven't heard this from the source, but let me tell you. So it's bad information. It could be bad news. So it might be something bad that's happened to someone else or that you're sharing. And I mean, this one can be a bit tricky because you might, and a lot of this is a part of the heart motivation. Like, why are you sharing this bad news? Is it because you're genuinely concerned and you just found out, oh no, our friends, parents or something's happened to their brother, this is, you know, and oh, like, what can we do to help them? There's that. And I think we understand that's not gossip. But it's when there's a kind of an enjoyment of, ooh, I've got this bad, I'm the first one to tell you this bad news. You'll hear it first from me, or, you know, almost taking a joy or delight in sharing someone's bad news. And the other thing is bad judgment. So we look at someone else and we think, oh, I wouldn't do that. Or did you see what they did? Or I can't believe how much makeup they're wearing. Or, oh, like, you know, we look at someone else and we make an assessment of whether we think they're good or bad, and then we tell other people about it. So it's a bad, we're judging them, and we're doing that in a negative way. And generally, it's kind of a comparison, like, I would never do what they're doing. Like, aren't I? And we're automatically putting ourselves in the position of being better than that person, by assuming that position of judgment over them. Another key thing is doing any one of these things when that person that you're talking about is not present to defend themselves or to share their side of the story. The book of Proverbs describes gossip as tasty morsels that go down to your innermost parts. And I think this is really interesting when we think about poison. And the verse there, you can see it says, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So the words we speak bring life or death. The words we speak can be poison, but yet it can be so appealing. Like, we love hearing the news. We love being in on what's happening. We want to know. We don't want to be left out. We want to be a part of the group. We want to be part of the conversation. And it goes down easy. It's tasty. It's like food that's got food poisoning but looks good. It's like, oh, let me have some. But do you really want poison in the innermost parts of your body? Do you want that in you, residing in your soul and in your spirit? Do you want that a part of you? If you do, then gossip is a great way to get it in you. But looking at that verse there from the book of James, where it says, no one can tame the tongue, it's a restless evil, it can be a bit overwhelming. Think, well, if no one can tame it, then what hope have I got, and why should I try to do anything else? It's already said that it's not possible. So is there any hope? Is it possible to live life without talking about other people? when it's so easy to do and it's so common. Yet the thing is, we all know the pain of when someone's talking about us. Who here has ever felt hurt because someone's talked about them behind their backs? And who here has ever talked about someone behind their back? Yeah. I've got one story from when I was, I must have been in, I think about year 8, and I was on a scout camp. I did Sea Scouts for a few years and had a lot of fun. At the time, it was when, don't laugh at me, babe. I've talked a lot about this in the last few weeks. She knows all about it. At the time, when I first started, there was one other girl, the only other girl in the scout troop, and Tanya, we were great friends and loved it, loved her, really close. She was like, we were like instant buddies. And then a year or so into it, I think I brought along one of my friends from school, was interested in coming, so I brought her along. And so there was three of us, three girls instead of just two, and so that went on for a while. That was good. And we're at one camp, one time it was near Narracourt, and I can't remember the exact context. I think we were playing a big game of like a hide-and-seek type game, and the three of us were going as a group to hide, and where I was going to hide, they thought was out of bounds. And so, like, no, we're not going to go over there. And I was like, no, come on. And I can't remember the exact details, but whatever happened, they got annoyed and frustrated and walked off without me. And I could see that they'd left. So what I did was I ran around a different way, and I raced back. They were walking. I was running. I got back to our tent, and I sat outside the back of our tent, and they came into the tent, and they just started absolutely, like, full on talking about me, so horrible, and bringing up all these things. Like, my friend from school was like, yeah, when she came to my party, like, at the beginning of this year, she did. I'm like, what? Like, they were talking about all this stuff they didn't like about me, just thing after thing after thing, and I was so heartbroken. So my two buddies, my two friends, that both became friends through me as well, were just totally turned against me, all for what? Some stupid thing to do with some game, I don't even remember, but and I remember I was just bawling, and my dad was one of the scout leaders, and he was the cook, and so I went and hid in his tent behind the kitchen, and they were all looking for me for a while, and then my dad found me and told the others I was fine, but I went, snuck back into my tent, got into my sleeping bag, covered up, and went to sleep, so they couldn't see me when they came in, and that really was the end of our friendship after that, like, never really recovered, which was really sad and really tragic, but just, you know, it hurts so much when people talk about you and are nasty and point out your bad points when you're not there, or they find it, yeah, that they're okay to do that. It's really, I think we all know what that feels like. So let's keep going. The question is, if we know how much it hurts, why do we do it? Well, a simple answer is what's in us comes out. The verse in Luke 6 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. So whatever comes out of your mouth, you can't blame on anybody else. It's coming from within you. Something within you wants to speak about others when they're not there, wants to hear those, wants this. What is it? Why do we want that? Why is that appealing? Why is that tasty? Why is it intriguing? Why? I love this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, small minds discuss people. And I think we can all go, yeah, that's a pretty good assessment. But how do we become a great mind? How do we become a person that doesn't do that, isn't drawn to that, doesn't encourage those kind of conversations? How do we move from being a small-minded person to a great mind? And I think we could all feel a sense of sort of hopelessness about, like, you know, like the verse said, no human being can tame the tongue. So what do we do? Well, part of the reason why it's so hard is because everybody does it. It's so common. Little kids, teenagers, old women. And it's not just, girls tend to have a worse reputation for gossip than guys do, but I think it's just as much a problem amongst men as it is women. But you know what? There's something broken in all of us that makes us attracted to bad stories. There's something, you know, we all love stories and there's good stories, but there's something, the brokenness in us is attracted somehow to to bad stories about other people. Perhaps hearing someone else's bad news makes us feel better about our own lives. It's interesting, it's a distraction. It takes our mind off our own pain or our own challenges or the things about ourselves that we don't like. Maybe it's motivated by jealousy and you want to bring someone down because you think their life's so good and you're jealous of them and you want, you know, to bring them down. Maybe it's fear of being left out or boring that compels us to gossip. But whatever the reasons, I think we all would agree that they're all bad reasons. There's a long history of this thing called gossip. I was reading this book by Matthew Mitchell, and he says, the serpent slandered God's reputation. Back in the book of Genesis, when the serpent tempted Adam and Eve to take a bite of the forbidden fruit, he was slandering God's reputation. And when his bad story, the bad information, the gossip that he was bringing about God was believed, the effect was devastating on all human history. Every small bit of sinful gossip in daily life is an evil echo of what went wrong at the very beginning. In fact, gossip is the same ugly sin played out again and again. I don't know about you, but when I step back and think, whoa, this thing of gossip, this thing of telling bad stories, of sharing things that aren't true or sharing things that aren't good news, that stems all the way back to the serpent. That's being like the serpent. That's acting in the same way that caused all the mess that and all the pain that we have. Like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be a part of that problem. What gossip does, it erodes trust. You know, if someone's gossiping with you about someone else, it's not too long before you wonder, what are they saying about me when I'm not there? Have you ever wondered that? If you've talked about someone, you go, are they talking? Or you feel nervous or insecure when your friends are doing stuff without you, because think, are they talking about me? Because you know full well, when they're not here, I talk about them. And it creates a real insecurity and a fear in your friendships of, I don't know if I can trust them. I don't know if they can trust me. And I don't know if I'm safe in this friendship. And it also makes you look bad because there'll be some, yeah, people will see that or you'll get a reputation and people will choose not to share with you and not to be real with you because they know, well, they won't keep my confidence if I ask them to. I can't trust them to keep what I tell them between us. We've already talked about how it hurts people. And, you know, it breaks down a healthy community. When a community of people, when there's gossip happening, it just erodes trust. It erodes love. It brings fear. It brings jealousy. It brings hatred. It brings insecurity. And it will affect your ability to make and keep friends, as well as the level that that friendship can go. You know, if we have gossip as a part of our friendships, it can only go so deep. It will end up being a shallow friendship. And, you know, I think one of the things that's appealing about gossip is that it gives you this sense of intimacy. In that moment when you're sharing something about someone, you can in that moment feel like this instant bond, and it's kind of a connecting point. And oh, in that moment, you share this kind of intimacy. But the thing, and so that's, I think, part of the appeal. We want to have intimacy. We want to have close friendships. We want people to like us. We want to have something interesting to talk about. And so in that moment, we can have a brief feeling that we've achieved that with the gossip. But the thing is, and the ironic thing is that gossip that we think is achieving that intimacy is actually the thing that's sabotaging real intimacy and lasting, deep, trusting friendships. We sacrifice the depth of friendship and intimacy on that for that brief moment that we can get, that brief sense of intimacy we get from gossip. And it's like a instant gratification type of thing in a relationship, and it really erodes trust, and it stops you from experiencing what true friendship is supposed to be. So, what's the answer? To say no to gossip. I think some practical things we can do is very simply to, in the first place, stick up for the person who is being talked about. And you could shut down the conversation and just say, look, guys, I don't think we should talk about this. That's, but you might not feel bold enough to say that, but you could just say, hey, we don't know what it's like from their side. Maybe this or maybe that, just jump in and stick up for them. Do what you would like. If that was you that was being talked about, think, how would you want your friends to act? And what would you like them to say on your behalf? And the thing is, we tend to magnify our good points and minimize our negatives for ourselves when we think about ourselves. And we have excuses for why we do the bad things we do, and we kind of give ourselves a break. Whereas when we look at other people, we can be very harsh and maximize their bad points and minimize their good points. And that's kind of what gossip is doing. It's maximizing the negative and minimizing and not bringing out the positive and not building them up. And we want people to do that for us. So, what if you became a person who was known for talking about people behind their back, but telling the good stuff? Saying, did you hear about this? Do you know what they're doing? Oh, they're so awesome. Oh, I'm so encouraged. What if you became that person that was always talking about people, the good things, the good news, the good points? Like, have you ever heard of someone telling, you found out that someone's been talking about you behind your back, but saying good things? Who's ever had that happen? It's a pretty good feeling. It's very much the opposite of the other feeling. It's like, wow, you feel so good. They're talking about me. I'm not there. And they're saying good things. It's the best. You can be that person. You can be that friend for other people. So you can stick up for someone. You can just change the subject. Oh, look at that bird. or whatever. If you're inside, that one might not work. Or maybe it will. Maybe there is a bird inside. That would be handy. Or there's a better would work in here. Look at the cat. you could just change the subject. Bring up something. Talk about something you saw in a movie. Just change the subject. Or if that fails, or if you feel too shy to speak at all, just walk away. Leave the group. Because you know what? Gossip is not just talking and saying that. It's talking and listening. It's the two. Like, if you never bring the gossip, but you hear it, you take it in, that you're just as much a part of the problem. So be proactive. Make a stand. Even if it is just quietly walking away, don't participate. Don't allow yourself to be brought in. Another key one, people sometimes say this, I don't know if I should tell you this. Has anyone ever said that? I don't know if I should tell you this, or I probably shouldn't tell you, or I shouldn't tell you, any of those versions of that same kind of thing. Instead of being like, tell me, you could go, no, don't, I don't want to know, la, 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 la. Just encourage that person. Don't encourage them to walk into sin by sharing that with you. Just say, don't. If you're not sure that you should share it with me, don't. You don't want that poison in you. You don't want them sharing that poison with you. Like, stop it. You have a chance to do that. And, I've kind of moved myself personally from being a person that would be like, tell me, to I really genuinely don't want someone to tell me something that they shouldn't, because what it makes me feel afterwards, I feel the poison. And I feel the poison it has on my friendship with them and the way I see that person that they were talking about. Because inevitably, when someone shares gossip with you about someone or tells you something negative or, I don't like this about so-and-so, you end up, it changes how you see that person. You might have had a good perspective. You might have thought they were a great person. And then someone's come in your ear and it's changed how you see them. And it might not be true. It might not be accurate. It might just be their problem or their issue that's been reflected. And then that's tainted your view of this other person. And that might not seem that big a deal until you're that person. And someone else has talked about you in a way that someone else that doesn't even know you now thinks, oh, I'm going to keep a distance from them because I've heard. And you're like, that's not even true. Stay away. Friends, don't let friends gossip. And, you know, I was talking to Jan Sharp at the beginning, before tonight started, and he was just sharing with me how he was in a conversation just this week with friends, and it was becoming a bit of a gossip session. And he just stepped in and said, guys, do you see what's happening here? And he was very bold and very, you know, upfront in saying, we shouldn't be talking about this. And they stopped. And they, I think, you know, there was you're right. And they moved away from talking about that. It didn't take much. People know when they're not meant to be doing something. And all it takes is one brave person that has character and knows what they believe to just go, hang on, let's not do this. And people will respond to that. Generally, not always. You might cop flack for doing it, but you'd be surprised too how people are like, oh. And the other thing that will happen if you start to become someone that has that sort of character, people will respect you. And even at times they might get a bit annoyed or feel a bit like, oh, goody two-shoes. They'll respect you and they'll know that's someone who is trustworthy. That if I share something with them, they won't go blabbing to other people. Couple other great verses from the Bible. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. And I just thought this was worth pointing out. You know, I think a really common thing that happens, if you hear gossip and then about a friend, and then you go and tell, so-and-so was gossiping about you, and they're like, oh, I can't believe it. It's like, if you've heard gossip about someone, don't take that and tell the person that was being gossiped about. That just stirs up strife and more drama. Go to the person, or if you were a part of that conversation, why didn't you shut it down? You could have just said, hey, don't talk about that. They're my friend. Don't stay to the end of the conversation. Let them know this is not okay. Don't talk about them. And then don't go and tell the person, because that's just going to leave them feeling hurt and it's not necessary. You know, the Bible says to be a peacemaker. Don't go looking for problems. Don't try and stir them up. Try and cover them over. Try and bring an end to it if you can. If you have any power to do that, do that. You don't have to share everything you've heard with everyone. If you think, is this going to cause them to feel hurt and just worked up unnecessarily? I won't say it. I'll talk to the person who is doing it. Because then you're just as much a part of the gossip as the person you're saying was gossiping. And this verse, a perverse person stirs up conflict and a gossip separates close friends. Because see, even in that situation, it can seem like you're doing the right thing. Oh, but I'm trying to let them know that this was happening. But you're using the same tactics to try and get that intimacy with the friend in the same way, if that makes sense, if you follow me. Gossip is soul-destroying poison for everybody. The speaker, the listener, the victim. It's selfish. It's thinking of itself, not of others. But it's so easy to do. And that's why we need to encourage each other and lead by example. And encourage an environment where we speak well of each other. We talk about our positive things we like about each other, building up. Like that verse from Ephesians says, building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't stir up strife. Don't repeat the matter if it's not helpful. If you're not a part of another one, Ben Lockman told me tonight, if you're not a part of the problem or the solution, like if you can't help solve it, don't talk about it. Don't go there. Choose to believe the best about people and think what it might be like to be in their shoes. And how you'd want people to respond if it was you in that situation. sorry. You know, I mentioned before, you know, there can be the sense of helplessness or, oh, overwhelmed. And I, you know, at this point, it could be a little bit overwhelming, a bit like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't gossip. Oh, I'm so bad. I really don't want to stop there and leave you with that feeling, if that is what you're feeling. And I think what's really exciting, and I'm really excited to share about this, because this is a message, what I'm bringing tonight, it's not saying don't gossip and leaving it there. This is, you know, what we're looking to build is true friendship and healthy friendship. And the thing is, healthy, good friendship is so exciting and so amazing and brings you so much riches in your life. It's worth fighting for, and it helps get the perspective of why we don't want to gossip, because real friendship is so good. Let's not ruin it with the cheap thrill of gossip. Let's treasure our friends. And as well as, you know, it's not just all up to you. Oh, I've got to be a better person. I've got to do this. I don't want you to go out thinking that either. I've just got to. No, you know, it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. And that's what becoming a Christian is getting a new heart. And God's life and his love coming out of us and overflowing. And so if you've done that, if you've come into relationship with God and he's cleansed you of all unrighteousness, you have his heart in you. And sometimes we just need a reminder. Oh yes, this is who I am. I'm going to shake that off. I'm going to say sorry. I'm going to get up and I'm going to, you know, invite God to help me in this area. And if you haven't done that, then that's really the only way forward. If you want to be a friend that doesn't gossip, if you want to live differently, we can't do it on our own steam. We need God's life in us, because he's the only way that we can truly love other people and truly live selflessly and put others first and have the motivation to break away from these kinds of things. We need him. So, but he's there and he provides that. And it is possible to have friendships without gossip. And that's, I guess, the point I want to leave you on. The picture's not super clear, but here's two of my friends. One Shane. I'm so thankful, because I definitely was really guilty of gossip, and I honestly didn't feel that much conviction about it when I was gossiping about other people. And especially if I had a friend, and then we had another friend, and we both had this same issue with that friend, then it's like, well, we both know their problems, and we'll just talk about them, and, you know, talk about how they could be better, and, you know, that seemed to make it okay, but it's not okay. I wouldn't want them doing that about me. It's like, come and tell me. If it's not big enough that you need to address your friend about it, if you don't feel like it's worth having that confrontation with the person, then what makes it okay to talk about someone else? Talk about it with someone else. Even if you both know and you both struggle with the same thing, don't talk to each other about it. That will destroy your friendship group. But yeah, I just want to take a moment to just say thank you to Shane and to my friend Ali, who's also pictured. Some of you might know Mr. Langmaid that got to Emmaus. Who knows Andrew Langmaid? That's Miss Langmaid's wife. She's my... Oh. Making all the connections. Ali is a very, very dear friend. We've been really close since year 11. We didn't go to the same high school, but we met when we were in year 11, and we've been really, really close since then. And Ali was amazing, because when I met her, we started hanging out. She just didn't gossip. She just didn't do that. She didn't talk about people. And I could sense the integrity and the character that she had. And it brought me up, and it brought me up to her level. And I was like, I want to be like her. And this is great. We had such better conversations than with my friends at school and other places. I was like, you know, we talked about God. We talked about our faith. We talked about our dreams and the future. And we talked for hours, and we didn't talk about other people. And I'm sorry to say, it wasn't me that set that standard. It was her. But being with her, I began to be more like her. And this is where what Shane talked about last week comes in, like having the wisdom to choose good friends and to find good friends. Friends that have characters and qualities that you want to be like. You know, it says in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, the people we're with influence us greatly. So when you get around someone that has those positive characteristics, it changes you, and for the better when they're a great person. And so I'm so thankful for Ali because she taught me what that looks like and how that's possible. And that it became so distasteful to me to then participate in gospel. And I'm like, so much better. We have, and added to that, like, I think the reason why my friendship with Ali is so good and so deep and so true is because I knew that she had my back and she was true to me and I could trust her because I knew she was trustworthy with her other friends because she didn't talk about them with me. And I'm just so thankful for that and for her. And the other one is Shane. And, you know, I don't think I've met anyone that is as much of a vault as Shane is. It's to the point of pain that he's a vault. And he'll have, if you confide something, I just will say 100%, if you confide something to Shane as a leader or youth here, like, he will not tell me. Even at times when it's like later, it's like, yeah, I probably should have told you that. But he's just really guarded and really careful. And I think particularly, and this is, you know, a few years off for most of you guys, but in married couples, you can be like, oh, we're married. We can talk about whatever with each other. We'll tell all the stories on people because, you know, you can do that, but it's not really healthy and it's not really good. And I just really appreciate that even though we're married and in a sense that could be our excuse, we could talk about people. You know, Shane really shuts down anytime I try and talk about people, which annoys me at the time, but I'm really thankful for that, Shane. You've shown a high level of integrity and I know that I've become better because he is so strong in that area. So friendship is a gift and we want to value our friends. And one of the ways we value them and one of the ways we strengthen our friendships and grow them is by being trustworthy and true and by watching what we speak and making sure what we say is life-giving and loving and caring and putting them first, whether they're there or whether they're not there. That we're the same person, we're the same friend, that if they suddenly appeared in that conversation, we could feel fully at peace that we were doing the right thing by them. We all want friends like that, but sometimes we have to be that friend because you might say, oh, I don't have a wise friend. I don't have someone like that in my life that will help me become a better person. Well, maybe God's put you where you are to be that friend to those around you. Maybe he's calling you to be the one to take that stand and to take a step up and to set a standard that will help draw your friends to a higher level. But friendships, beautiful friendships, can't flourish in an atmosphere of gossip. Don't trade in that gift of intimacy and beautiful friendship for the short-term thrill of sharing gossip. You can't have both. It is poison. Do you want poison in your friendship and in your heart? Don't be fooled. Be wise. So, what now? Well, if you feel God's been speaking to you and convicting you, which you may have already felt, but, you know, as the band comes up and sings this final song, I just want you to reflect on that and to talk to God. And if you're being convicted, you need to make it right. You need to say sorry to God because you've offended God. And you've hurt people. And you've hurt the gift of friendships, the friendships he's given you and the people in your life, if you've hurt them, you need to make it right. And that may not, you need to use wisdom in how you make it right too. If you've talked about someone, depending what it is, and depending how much they know about it, you may want to go to that person that you have been talking about and apologize, but it may be better to just go to the person that you were talking with about the other one and say, look, I've been talking about so-and-so. I really shouldn't. I'm sorry that I've drawn you into this and I've shared this poison with you and we've betrayed this other friend. I'm sorry we've done that. I'm sorry I did that and I'm sorry for bringing you into that. Will you forgive me? You know, that's a very humbling thing to do. I've had friends come and say that to me, which has really, even though they did something wrong, it's made me have a great respect for them, that they were willing to apologize. for that. And I've had to do that. I've done that to friends, and I've done that to Shane a few times as well, saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have talked about that. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. It's important that we're willing to say sorry, and that humility brings new life and healing, and God's grace comes as we humble ourselves. So be brave and bold to make it right where you can. And it's a new day. His mercies are new every morning, and there's still time to change the road you're on. You're young. It's the beginning, you know, and every day is a new beginning, and that you can be that kind of friend. You can have character, integrity, wisdom. There's nothing stopping you from being that. God is giving you everything you need for life and godliness. And it's so much more fun to be in friendships like this than to be in gossip. Gossipy thing. It's terrible. Real friendship is the best. So be a true friend. Be a true friend and encourage that in those around you.